Fourie, yeah. East Coast Radio.
All right, so the Constitutional Court of South Africa has ruled that domestic workers who suffer injury or contract an illness while on duty at the private home or at the place of an employer can actually apply for compensation. Now, does this affect you as an employer is the question, and what does this mean for you if you're a domestic worker? Now, we've decided to get amazing attorney Ashton Naidu on the line, who is a partner at Mooney Ford Attorneys. He's on the line to chat to us about this. Ashton, thank you so much and welcome to East Coast Radio.
Thanks, Carol. My absolute pleasure to assist you guys.
So this is quite groundbreaking. As an employer of a domestic worker, what do I need to know right now?
This ruling was made, or the first ruled in the High Court last year, and the Concord has just sort of confirmed what everybody sort of knew already. So firstly, what you need to do is obtain a WAS-2 form from the Department of Labor as an employer. This needs to be completed and submitted together with a copy of your ID. It is important that you realize that you are registering yourself or your company in order to obtain a compensation fund registration number. Once you have that number, you will then need to submit a return of earnings annually. This gets done in order to assess your employer's risk level associated with their job. There's a tariff that is then charged to you, which is reviewed annually.
So how does this work? Do I deduct this money from her salary, or is this over and above? And considering it's tough times, this is hectic if I need to add more money to this.
Okay, unfortunately, if you're an employer, this charge is for you. And no employers may deduct assessment charges from their employees. It's actually an offense in terms of the Act, Section 64, if I'm not mistaken, if you deduct these monies from an employee.
And do you have any idea whether it's quite a hectic cost, or is it like something that one can afford easily?
Based on the earnings of the domestic worker, the higher the earnings, the higher the cost, obviously. But also there's a risk category associated. So, for example, a domestic worker is not going to be in the same risk category as a aviation worker, for example. Mm-hmm. So your categories will determine your rate of pay.
I see.
Put it that way.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, what happens if you have a domestic worker who comes in, say, once or twice a week? Do we still need to do this?
100%. As soon as you become an employee, you need to register as for COIDA. The Act regards an employee as anyone that is remunerated, an employee, sorry, in either cash or kind services, which can be calculated either in time or in work done. So if you have an employee that works 12 hours a day once a week, you still got to register them.
So what happens now if I pretend like I didn't hear this on the radio?
Okay, that's a good question, and everybody sort of wants to know, how do I skate around this?
Yeah.
You can't. If you're found to be non-compliant as an employer, you're liable for fine, and you can be convicted in terms of the Act.
Jeez.
And a conviction can come up with a maximum of a one-year prison sentence. So it's one of those situations where rather stay on the right side of the law.
Wow.
Not because you're going to be fined, and not because it's the right thing to do, but because if you are fined, you might go to prison, and nobody wants that.
Jeez. So now this is a new ruling. Do we have a time frame to get this done, or is it like you have to get it done now?
Well, here's the problem. Because the Department of Labor hasn't announced the tariff, you're not going to know what you're in for. However, the ruling at the court was it was with immediate effect and retrospective. So you need to get this done now. If you employ a domestic worker, my suggestion or my advice would be you immediately and register. You'll have to submit your annual assessment fee to the department, but you're not going to know what you have to pay yet because they haven't given you that tariff calculation.
Wow. And what does this mean now for a domestic worker? Can she go up to her employer and say, listen, you need to do this for me? What does it mean?
Yes. So basically, domestic work has been marginalized in our society for decades.
Mm.
The Concord has noted that denying domestic workers compensation effectively meant that these workers are not recognized as proper workers, in inverted commas. With this judgment, domestic workers now have the right to claim for injuries and or illnesses contracted whilst working in the employer of the employer. What this means is that the domestic worker has rights. Well, they've always had rights, but they were just never confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they aren't registered and you don't register your domestic worker and she falls ill, you're then liable to be sued, either civilly and or by the department.
And this compensation, what does it cover? I know there was a major case where a domestic worker fell into a pool and drowned, and this was where this whole ruling stemmed from, where it was taken seriously, the rights of domestic workers. But what does it cover? Does it cover an incident like that? Does it cover falling and scraping your knee? Does it cover getting diabetes? What does it cover?
So basically, quite a provides a no-fault compensation for employees who are injured or contract diseases during the course and scope of their employment. No-fault compensation in law is basically you don't have to prove there was a fault on another party in order for you to claim compensation.
I see.
That being said, payments are made for medical treatment and for compensation for disablement caused by occupational injuries and or diseases. So, for example, you're contracting diabetes, that's your employer. The quota won't cover that. That you didn't contract diabetes as a result of you working for a specific person. That's genetics or that's your lifestyle.
Right.
But if, for example, if you fell in the pool and drowned, your family would then have a claim against the quota. If you lost a toe or if you fractured your arm, which prevented you from working for a couple of months,
yeah,
those will be covered by quota. Your medical fees are reasonable medical fees, as well as your monthly salary.
And is there anything else that we need to know? Because this is a groundbreaking ruling, and the fact that you can go to jail if you don't register your domestic worker is serious. So is anything else as employers and domestic workers we should know?
Okay, so what's amazing for me was that this ruling is retrospective. So domestic workers can make large claims incidences as far back as 1994.
Yo.
We have very few rulings from the Concord that sort of work retrospectively.
Wow.
To that extent. The Department of Labor hasn't announced yet how this retrospective action is going to work, and I'm very curious myself to see how they're going to get this right. Are employers now going to have to pay back for the last 24 years? It's like you said, it's groundbreaking. We're in uncharted territory here. I can't foresee somebody sort of saying you've got to pay back for the last 24 years. It's just not reasonable. However, we've got to see what the department comes up with.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, employers of domestic workers should embrace this development in terms of quota. Rather have a regulated fund where people can be paid from than be sued by civil in court. It just sort of hampers or it removes that element of surprise from it, and you now have an avenue in which to compensate your employee for.
100%. Well, the biggest thing I've taken out of this, Ashton, is number one, you got to do it. Number two, if you don't do it, you go to jail. Number three, groundbreaking. And finally, domestic workers' rights being seen by society, by employers, finally, and that they are doing a hard, hard job that also has injuries and stuff that can happen. It's wonderful that government has recognized that. Ashton Naidu, thank you so much for breaking down this for us. We really do appreciate your time.
100%. Carol, just one thing. It's not you all go to jail. The department might seek to impose a jail time, but it's not simply a situation of you contravene the law. You will go to jail.
Okay.
There'll be certain aspects that will play into part of your continuous offender, et cetera, et cetera. I highly doubt for a first-time offender they're going to slap the cuffs on you and throw you in jail.
Well, listen, jail for me is scary nonetheless. So it's like, listen, I don't want to go to jail. So I'm going to do what Ashton's saying I must do. So Ashton, thanks again for your time. Really appreciate it. Have a wonderful day, yeah?
Thanks, Carol.
Thank you so much. That's Ashton Naidu, attorney and partner at Mooney Ford Attorneys. And yes, we've learned something new. Let's do right by our domestic workers and also stay within the law.
To listen to these moments and anything else you might have missed, go to ecr.co.za and click on podcasts.